Well, friends, it's Celebration Sunday, isn't it? Decorations look nice, don't they?
Yeah.
There's a crew that came in here and did that, and you know what? They did that absolutely out of faith because they didn't know the report yet. So we're about to have the report. Are you interested to hear what's happening? Luke is going to get us started today as our chair of our Time Is Now campaign. Then Brett's going to follow him up, the chair of our building committee. And then I'll follow them up and back clean up when they're done. How's that sound? So Luke, why don't you get us rolling?
Good morning. Well, I don't want to bring the mood down, but I felt as chair of the campaign, it was important for me to share this unfortunate news with you. For those of you who have designated seats and designated chairs in this facility, I don't want you to get too comfortable because we are building a new facility. I've been waiting 2 years to say that. The facility is being built. Now, I'll give you a brief scorecard of where we're at, and Brett's going to kind of discuss some of the details as far as what we can do and what we can't do, but make no mistake, Bill, Brett, Mark, and I have been on conference calls the past few weeks, and there is no question, it is not an option, we are building a new facility, so thank you. So to go over some of the metrics here, in hand, cash in hand, we have $692,000. Unpaid upfront commitments and three-year commitments, we have $455,000 for a grand total of $1.147 million. Okay? Yeah. To give you an overview of how it was given, I know you've heard the deep and wide. The wide portion of it was covered better than we ever imagined. I mean, we had 70-80% of the households that have been included in those numbers. So as far as the entire congregation being involved, we did a phenomenal, phenomenal job. The one thing that we didn't reach were some of the very, very top tier numbers. And Mark will explain a little bit of that as he kind of wraps up. But what we're looking to do is we are going to extend the commitment time until the end of this month on the 29th. In doing that, we're hoping that we give everybody the opportunity to either change what they've committed, to give, you know, time for the people that are the deep givers, time to think about what they would like to plan on doing, and just give everybody a little bit more time. Our stretch goal was $2.4 million for this build. Brett has had conversations with the contractors, and we can scale it back a little bit if necessary to around the 2.1. If we did the 2.1 build, we would still need an additional $250,000 in either upfront or three-year commitments. So in order to do that, we can do it one of two ways. Obviously, a few of the top-tier givers come in, or we as an entire group, the wide portion of it, step up a little bit and kind of cover off that $250,000. So there's a lot of conversations we're going to have with the contractors once we know the final number come the end of June. But make no mistake, we are building. It's just your response to this request is just to what extent we can do that. So I want to thank everyone for their involvement. I want to thank you for your generosity. Something that I shared with Mark and the generosity side of it, I've been really amazed at what everybody has done. I've had some very frank and private conversations with people, realizing where they are financially, what they can do and what they can't do. And I can tell you that there are a lot of people in this congregation that have a lot of faith because people stepped up. They went well over above and beyond what they could do, what they could make sense, and they're just having faith in God that this is going to happen. So we are, as a group, we will honor that, and we are building a facility no matter what. Again, June 29th will be the extension of the commitment. You can call me, email me, fill out another card, mail it to the church, drop it off at church. I'll make sure to get it and kind of tabulate everything when it's all said and done. And just remember, as far as this three-year commitment, you don't have to pay everything up front. You can pay once we get started. I know there were some that were a little hesitant until we put a shovel in the ground. The only thing is the catch-22, where we want to know what we have before we start that building process, because it's much more expensive and much more difficult to change things as we're in the building process. So if you have things in mind, please let me know, email me, give me a call. I would sincerely appreciate it. And again, I just want to say it one more time. We are building a new facility in Old Fort. Thank you.
Won't have to make that jump anymore. He said we're building. We're also going to be adding more services. We're going to build a two-car garage. We'll have 25 services with 20 people at a time. But no. Like you said, we've been having ongoing conversations with Klaus Construction and Bruce Heinlein of Feldy Heinlein, the architect, looking at, you know, just the reality of, if we get to this funding level, what do we do? If we get to this funding level, what do we do? If we shoot for the moon, you know, we've got our stretch goal, our $2.5 million, $2.4 million. This is all in, everything we want to do. So where we are right now, pushing about $1.8 million, we have a building option for that. Basically takes the front and it scales it back a little bit. We would, in that case, lose the offices in the building addition, or in the new building. We're looking at options of being able to switch classroom around, but we would still have a kitchen and storage space for Carol's stuff. We're looking at all kinds of options. We're definitely going to have worship space. We're going to have children's space. It's how far we go with furnishing of them, how far we, you know, modify a classroom into an office. What do we have to do for that? There's a lot of heartburn, a lot of angst, a lot of things going on, but basically it's just a whole lot of excitement. We're pretty keyed up about how we're going to be able to go through with this. One of the things is that, you know, people are going to say, well, when are we going to turn a shovel over? When are we going to break ground? It's probably going to be in the spring next year. What's ended up happening with the increased, or the some of the recovery in the economy, is that Klaus Construction works with Butler Buildings. Butler Buildings has had a boom of orders come in, and their lead time on steel buildings went from 10 or 12 weeks to 14 weeks, maybe even 16 weeks. So we're still going to look at options of getting dirt moved, foundations. We're still going to have a new well, septic system. But depending on where we end up at the end of June with the dollars and cents, we can have two-thirds of it in hand and pledges, and one-third of it comes from the bank. And that's our limiting factor, is what the United Methodist Doctrine allows us to do for money from the bank. So stay tuned, stay excited. We're going to have a building. We're going to have fun. And like I said, if you can't find Luke or Mark or me, then we've done a really good job of hiding from you. But we're willing to answer. It's basically open books. I mean, we've got all kinds of information. We're willing to share the information and answer all your questions.
Somebody already broke ground. There's ground right here from the new building site, so it's already been broken. If you're waiting to break ground, there it is. Friends, this is Celebration Sunday, and this is a Sunday that many of us have been waiting for. And it's a beautiful thing that we can stand here this morning, and we can say that all the talking about building is done. After about 10 years of talking, planning, praying, and many people giving money, we indeed have a project. It will be happening. The time is indeed now. This is happening. We're beyond speculation and chatter. Old Fort Church is going to be building a new building. Amen. I don't know about you, but I stand here pretty amazed at God and the way that He's worked through each of us. And I know that we've stepped up to the plates on this one, and we've sacrificed because we've done that, friends. The game has been won. we have a victory to celebrate, and I just want to thank all of you for going to God on this, to really taking it to heart, taking this project seriously, and praying and making the commitments that you've made that bring us to this point. Friends, we've won the game. That's the victory. That's the thing to celebrate. The only question that's still in play is, what's the final score going to be of the game? Are we going to eke past the goal? Are we going to eke out a win? Or are we going to blow it out? And my experience with God is that He likes to blow the game out of the park. He likes to not just eke by, but He wants to hit a grand slam so that all the runners come in, so that when you look at the scoreboard, it's very clear. There's no question about who's won. And I believe that He's not done with us yet. The fact is that we can stop today, and we have the means to build a nice facility across on that property. We've won. We're at a place where we can build, but in order for us to lay out the footprint for what we really do need, for what we really believe to meet the ministry needs, to have that at least that footprint of the building done, there's that $250,000 gap that's still there that we need to be able to close. And closing that gap, what that allows us to do, we'll have some unfinished space because it's still not the whole goal, but at least the building is built so that the offices can be put in and the other ministry space can be there. If we don't have that footprint down, in the long run, it's going to cost us more money. It's much more expensive to add space on than to build into space that you've already got. Once you put up that steel frame, once you add on to it, you're adding a lot more than what we would spend now if we can have that footprint laid. It's going to mean that we have probably for quite some time some offices and ministry that still has to happen in this campus if we can't lay out that whole footprint. So we'd be operating on two campuses and two building expenses. There's all kinds of great reasons why we want to be able to close that gap to be able to put that footprint down. And that's where the extra $250,000 lie. So as we keep this campaign open through Sunday, June 29th, I just want to encourage you to pray. First, just pray for our church. Pray for individuals in our church that maybe God's still working on them, and they've not made the commitment that they need to yet, or maybe not a commitment at all. Pray for yourself. Is God possibly leading you to enlarge your commitment in some way? Just be praying on that, and you can enlarge it in your 3-year commitment, which means it's not something that has to happen right now, because we've met the criteria for our upfront commitments. Or if you've not made a commitment yet, perhaps God's encouraging you now to do that, so that we can actually meet that whole footprint and be done. Now, here's the thing. I know that many people have already done all they feel they can do, and you know what? There's no pressure on you. All that I care about, all that we care about at the end of the day, at the end of this campaign, is that we've all gone to God and we've talked to God and we've listened to God and we've done what we believe God has called us to do. I know people have sacrificed already. And if you're at the end of that sacrifice, don't feel pressure. All we're asking is that you pray, that you ask God about where He wants you to be in this. Because the time's now, failure isn't an option, we're building, but we can still impact what we're going to build right now. We can impact the ability of how much we can build. What we're going to be doing the rest of our time today is we're just going to be thanking God and celebrating both God for who He is and for what He's done already, and for what we know He's still doing. And because it's a celebration, you all get to play a part in this today. So be ready. In just a little bit, you're going to get to participate in the Thanksgiving. But let's have a word of prayer as we really start to celebrate and give thanks. Dear God, we are so grateful for You. I am blown away by the commitment, the faith, and the sacrifice of the people at Old Fort Church. People have really stepped up. It's been amazing to see how we've been willing to take this thing broad. And we've touched it on a lot of the broad levels. And Lord, a lot of people have committed, and we just want to give You honor and glory. We want to praise You today for that. Lead us in this time of thanksgiving to you, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. You know, I forgot to throw a chart up there on the screen just to help you identify where we're at. Would you throw that chart up there for a minute, Steve, the giving chart? Do you see it back there? Max is coming to help you, I think. There it is. I just want, if you take a look at that chart, I don't know how well you can see it, but I want you to know that the wide part of that, we absolutely crushed. The percentage of people giving and the gifts given in that wide part, those lower areas, we just crushed. The truth of the matter is all that we're missing is the deep part. Some of those bigger gifts we kind of thought might be there, maybe we underestimated, or maybe people haven't felt led to give. Those four gifts, if they were there, those top four gifts, we would have superseded our original goal. That tells you how well we did. And I just wanted you to see that so you can understand how well we really crushed that thing, and that it's just those top goals that are keeping us from the whole goal that we had in mind. So I just thought it was important for you to see that and to talk about that, and that you can take it down now. We'll go in to talk about the Thanksgiving. My message today really can be summed up, friends, in one sentence, and it's this: gratitude is a miracle-creating attitude. A miracle-creating attitude. See, there's incredible power in giving thanks to God. It has the power to transform seemingly unsolvable problems. When you learn to thank and praise God in the midst of a problem, in the midst of pain, in the midst of crisis, God miraculously does a miracle and turns things around. Gratitude is a miracle-creating, a miracle-working attitude. In Acts chapter 16, we see this played out. We see an example of it with Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas had gone to Philippi to preach and to teach. However, they weren't well received there. As a matter of fact, the crowd stoned them, they beat them, and they took Paul and Silas and they threw them into prison. And at midnight, in the middle of a dark, damp, cold prison, Paul and Silas started thanking God. They started praising God. If you don't know that story, you might say, what? They've been beaten, they've been stoned, they've been thrown into a prison, and they started doing what? They started thanking and praising God? Yes, that's exactly what they did. They started singing songs of thanksgiving. And God did a miracle in the midst of that thanksgiving. He sent an earthquake that rocked the whole prison. It shook the cell doors right off of the cells. It loosed the shackles on their hands and their feet. They were unbound and they were free. It was the first jailhouse rock. Freedom comes through thanksgiving. Peace comes through thanksgiving. Joy comes through thanksgiving. Miracles come through thanksgiving. Abundance comes through thanksgiving. We thank God, and we see all these amazing things happen. We have so much to thank God for today, and by golly, we're going to do it. So what I want to do is share quickly five ways that the Bible says we can give thanks, and then I'll share how you can participate. Here's the first one. The first way the Bible says we can give thanks: by being grateful in everything. That's kind of the more general answer, to be grateful in anything. That's the answer that led Paul and Silas to be able to thank God in the midst of a cold, damp prison cell. We need to thank God in everything. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. Whatever you do, if you do it in the name of Jesus, you automatically are giving thanks to God. Do you know what the difference is between Oprah Winfrey's random acts of kindness and the works of people of Jesus? You know what the difference is? It's one simple thing. It's the inclusion of Jesus into the work and the desire for people to know the author of all kindness, to know Jesus. That's what makes it different than any other good, kind act across the world, as we bring Jesus into it. Offer all you do to God in the name of Jesus and with a grateful heart, and you will be thanking God in everything. Can you wash dishes with a thanksgiving attitude? Absolutely. Can you change diapers back in our nursery with a Thanksgiving attitude? Absolutely. Can you repair a car? Can you take out the garbage? Yes, you can do it all with an attitude of thanksgiving. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the spirit of thanksgiving and in the name of Jesus, and you're showing gratitude. The attitude of gratitude is the healthiest emotion that you or I can have. Generosity and gratitude are the two highest hallmarks of spiritual maturity. Here's a second way the Bible says we can show gratitude: by singing to God. By singing to God. Psalm 147, verse 7 says, "Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God on the harp." Anybody bring their harp today? Should we put some wings on Mike next week and have a harp? And I've heard Mike can literally play anything. Maybe a harp would work. You know what? I'm pretty sure that the stringed instruments we use today are just as viable as the harp was in that day. You know, you might think I'm nutty, but I'm pretty sure that God loves a good guitar solo. You know, especially when it's played to honor and to bring glory to Him with that attitude of thanksgiving. In Psalm 100, it says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Nothing makes you more aware of God's presence faster than singing praise songs to Him. Nothing does. When you sing praise to God, you sense His presence in a way that you can't do in any other single thing that you do. That's why it's important for you and for me to give thanks to God through singing to Him. Now, I know some folks are saying already, but I can't sing. Mark, you don't understand. I couldn't save myself if I had to sing. I can't keep a tune. Well, the good news is that there are no qualifications given in this scripture. It doesn't say, only those who can sing come before Him with joyful songs. There are no tryouts. There are no ins. There are no outs. The Bible simply says to make a joyful noise. And what makes your noise joyful? The heart that you put into it. The attitude that you put into it. It doesn't matter if you're in tune or not, as long as you're putting yourself into what you're singing. I know that some of you are prison singers. Do you know what a prison singer is? Somebody who's always behind a few bars and can never find the right key. I know that some of your voices need some cultivating. They need to be plowed under. I know that. But you can make a joyful noise. And so can I. We can do that, and we need to do that. Don't worry about what it sounds like. Simply make a joyful noise. We can all do that. We've already done some singing this morning, but we know we're going to end with some singing. I want you to do yourself a favor. When we do that, sing with all the gusto that you've got. Let it rip. Pretend you're in the shower or you're driving in the car when that person sees you and drives past you and you're singing. Just let it come out and sing praise and thanksgiving to Him. Here's the third way we can go show gratitude to God: by praying to Him. Psalm 105 verse 1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, call on His name." That's praying. "Make known among the nations what He has done." Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7 say, "Do not be anxious, worry about anything, but in everything present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You know, not worrying has probably got to be one of the most difficult commandments in the Bible, don't you think? That's a hard one. But the answer to it is found in the second part of that verse. Pray about everything. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you pray as much as you worry, you won't have nearly as much to worry about. God says don't worry about it. And when you start worrying, just stop and pray instead. Pray about it. When we're thanking God in prayer, friends, He wants us to be specific in how we thank Him. He doesn't want us just to say, thank you, God, for everything. He wants to hear some specifics as we thank Him. That's a pretty bland prayer, isn't it? Thank you, God, for everything. That's like if a wife comes to her husband and says, tell me why you love me. And you say, I love you because of everything. And you don't give her any specifics. And then she begins to wonder, because you don't have specifics, how much you really love her at all. We want to be specific as we thank God. Make a list. Make a top 10 list. And just say, God, I thank you for this. And I thank you for this. And I thank you for this. In prayer, we can give Him thanks. The fourth way we can thank Him is by giving. In Psalm chapter 50, verse 14, it says, give an offering to show thanks to God. Give Him what you've promised. We've already been talking about money quite a bit and giving in these past weeks. But now, as most of us have made our commitments, if it's like you and if it's like Caroline and I with you, then you know, as you've made those commitments, as you've worked that through with God, you just kind of got this really great feeling. There's just this really great feeling knowing that we're going to be a part of something. And yes, sometimes that worry thing wants to creep its way in about where it's all going to come from and all that. But there's this great peaceful feeling to know that we've done what we're supposed to do. Giving gives thanks to God. Did you know that some of our children, our youth, have been making commitments and have given? Do you know that down the fort that the children have been collecting for this building? They've been bringing their money for the building. Do you know that some of our children and our youth have filled out their own commitment card for this building? Because our children and our youth are saying to us that they know the time is now. They know we need a new building too. And I thought about this week as I was thinking about what I had written here. And you know what? They're going to be the leaders in that new building. And isn't it an awesome thing that they're already being a part of that? Listen to how David from the Bible, his gratitude toward God is shown when he was in the midst of a building project. Listen to his gratitude in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 13 through 16. He says, now, our God, we give you thanks and we praise your glorious name. Now listen to this. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, and we're all like a shadow without hope. O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. Isn't that just a beautiful text about what's happening in David's heart as he's thanking God through giving? Here's our final one. Final way the Bible talks about, well, it's probably not the final way. There's probably others in the Bible. The final of these five ways that it talks about us sharing gratitude is by talking about God, talking about Him. When you talk to other people about God, about the Lord in a conversation, that's giving thanks to God. It's called sharing your testimony. A testimony is telling what I know about God. It's telling about my story of God in my life to other people. And the Bible says, whenever you share your faith with a non-believer, whenever you talk about what the Lord's doing in your life, you share your testimony with other Christians, whenever you're doing that, you're giving a thanksgiving offering to God. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 4, it says, in that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known among the nations what He has done, and proclaim that His name is exalted. God wants us to be a living advertisement of thanksgiving for Him. That people see our thanksgiving for God pouring out of us, and through that, they're able to begin to see God. And listen to this very special verse in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. This is coming from the Living Bible paraphrase. I think it's just beautiful the way that it paraphrases this scripture. Listen very carefully to this. Deuteronomy 4, 9. Be very careful to never forget what you've seen God doing for you. May His miracles have a deep and permanent effect upon your lives. Tell your children and your grandchildren about the glorious miracles that He did. Friends, we're going to have the opportunity to tell our children and our grandchildren about the miracle that God's doing across this road. These children that are committing today downstairs and giving money, they're going to have the opportunity to tell their children and their grandchildren about the miracle that they saw God do when God built a new church in front of them. This passage tells us that these miracles have a deep and permanent, we should allow them to have a deep and permanent effect on our lives. And we need to tell them. You know, I got to tell you, I woke up this morning and I heard the rain on the roof. And I thought, well, it should rain on Celebration Sunday at Old Fort Church. Or snow. And I was kind of discouraged by that. I came across a lot in the rain. I thought, man, I thought the rain was done. Wouldn't it be great to have a big, beautiful, sunny day today? And I came in, I was talking to Mike, and he shared with me what Lindsay had said to him about the metaphor that I shared a few weeks ago, that it's, if you're saving for a rainy day, it's raining. And I realized we've not closed that gap yet. So it's still raining. It's still raining. We're celebrating. But if you're saving for that rainy day, it's still raining. It's time to cash in the rainy day funds for what God wants to do. But I also got to tell you, how many people saw one of the two that I know of rainbows that happened this week? Go to Wes Ferguson's Facebook page. He's got a picture up. One of them was in the morning, I know that Nola saw, and another was in the evening that we saw off our back deck. And I got to tell you, it's probably the biggest, most vibrant rainbow I've ever seen. It's one of those rainbows where if we would have journeyed out to the bottom, we'd have found a pot of gold. Because you could see where it started and you could see where it ended. And the glow of the rainbow was actually on the ground by it. And part of the rainbow even had a double. And I'm thinking there may have been part of a triple even in there. Because there was like another layer on the inside. It was just huge. And all I could think about was that metaphor of the rainy day, knowing that God's saying, here's the miracle. It's happening. The rainy day's coming to an end, and it's time for the promise. I remember back to the story in the Old Testament of Noah when there was the flood, and the flood was gone, and God threw a big rainbow in the sky, and He told Noah, this is to show you the promise that the world will never be destroyed by water like this again. And after all the rainy days, there's that rainbow, and I feel like God's saying to us, here's the miracle. Don't forget to tell people about it. Here's the promise. We're entering the promised land. We're going to inhabit this land. We're going to see this thing happen. One of the most important parts of this Time Is Now campaign is what God has been doing for you and me spiritually in our lives. All along, this is meant to be a spiritual campaign. It's not really been about raising money. It's about growing us spiritually, to feel God's movement, to obey God. The money that we raise through this is just a great testimony to God. But the Bible talks about another sacrifice that's even greater. In Hebrews, it talks about the sacrifice of praise, of praising God. See, you and I get to brag about God and to thank Him and the lessons that have happened in our life and to show that to others in our life, to tell others about it. What are you most thankful for, friends? People, possessions, privileges, purposes, maybe that even have come through some of the problems that you've gone through. What's God taught you during this campaign? Has He taught you anything about faith or about hope or about generosity? Anything about priorities, about what's important in your life? Here's what we're going to do for the rest of this message and the time that we have with God through our testimonies. I told you that you were going to get to participate today, and here's where you're going to get to participate. Friends, the fact is that if you've taken this thing seriously at all, if you've fasted and you've prayed, if you've been involved in the devotionals we've done, if you've used the prayer focuses and been praying for this, if you've been involved at all, then you have some testimony to share about what God's been doing in your life through this time. And I want to lead us in a time of thanksgiving in three areas. I'm going to give you these questions ahead of time so you can think about them. And I want to ask for some of us to share under each question as I give them again in a minute. But be thinking about it. Here are the questions. How has God grown my faith? How has God grown my hope? And how has God grown my generosity? We're going to put those one at a time on the screen. I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to those. And here's what I want you to remember as you share. Wait for the microphone. Hold it to your mouth so we can hear you. Speak clearly. Then remember the ABCs of sharing. Make it audible. Keep it brief. Only the pastor gets to be Wendy. And keep it Christ-centered. So I'm going to give you the first question. We'll go through each one. And you can just raise a hand if you feel like God's leading you to share a word of thanksgiving under that question. Mike will come to you with the microphone. The first one is, how has God grown your faith through this campaign? Anybody want to share a testimony about God's grown your faith? Over here.
Yeah, he's grown my faith through those devotions that we've had. It actually brightened up my life in a way that I was able to see the Word a lot better just by going through those devotions and not just in my heart and in my life.
Great. Thank you, Jeff. Any others want to share about how God's grown your faith in this time?
I know we're to praise God for the good and the bad, but I can't help but notice in my life that struggles seem terrible at first, but in the long run, those are things I can see God working. He's got a plan ahead of my plans. So whether it changes or whether it's the same, that's always a blessing to see that God gives you something good for your struggles.
Thank you, Steve. Let's look at the next question. How has God grown my hope? Who would share a testimony? You got one here and one back there.
To be honest, when this all started, I went, oh, great, here we go again. I hope they're going to be dashed. God's been working on me big time, and I just praise him that he has spoken to people, and that's one of my prayers was that he would speak to individuals, not just me, but individuals. Even this wide portion, it's been amazing. And I know that he's not done with us. He's not done with me. And I know that that picture that's on that board right there is not something that somebody just dreamed up because they thought it was good. That's God's ordained plan for this building. And he's going to keep talking to us, and he's going to keep urging us because we have another, 3 weeks? He can talk to you right now. And all we need to do is be obedient. And we know that he is going to blow it out of the water, as Mark said, because I believe that, and I believe that I've been praying all along that we would be obedient to his call in our lives, his call in our pockets, his call in our wallets, his call in our service, and that just like in the Old Testament, I've just been claiming that as they built the temple, they had to tell the people, stop, you're bringing too much stuff. So that's what God's going to have to do to us. He's going to have to tell us, oh, slow down. You're bringing too much stuff. So just take that into consideration that God's not done with us yet.
Praise God. Andrew is one of several people who've come to me different times through this and said, this is going to happen this time. I know that God's told me this is going to happen this time. Those have been positive words for me. Nola.
Well, I told my story to my women's Bible study, and again this morning to Chuck's Sunday school class. But Norm and I had already turned our commitment cards in, you know, that first commitment Sunday, and I just was feeling like, yeah, okay, we're done. And we, you know, increased our giving and everything. But with Mark's sermon last Sunday, we started whispering to each other, you know, we should do more. We can do more. And Norm was like, well, I guess I can't retire yet. We're going to have to keep on. It was like, yeah, you're not going to retire yet. You know, so anyways, that was burning in me that we definitely needed to up and I said, you go talk to Luke afterwards and this and that. So on Monday morning, and it was just sort of misting a little bit outside, and I've been trying to walk up and down our road just about every morning. I like to get really early, just when the sun's, you know, when the light's just coming up. And I'd done my praise music, and I was just walking down the road, and I was just praying to God, and I was just praying for God. I just hope that, you know, we've got enough money. I was going on and on. I was raising my arms in the air and everything, and all of a sudden, there was a rainbow in the south. I had never seen that. I was just bawling. I wanted to tell somebody, and I'm glad to know that you heard that, because I was trying to call Caroline, and I was like trying to get my music, but my music was on, so I didn't know if I even got her. So I was like, I can't even share this with anybody, you know, but it was just, I just think God was giving me a sign saying, it's going to be okay. And that gave me hope.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. I don't know who he saw, but he's running.
When John and Brett and Luke asked me to be part of the initial startup, and we came to the meetings every other week or so, and you know, met with the builders and kind of decided what we thought was necessary for the church. I remember backing out of the driveway, and Owen was in the window. I remember feeling so bad because I work full time and I was taken away from the time of my family. And I remember sharing at the meeting one time, I'm not going to do this if we're not going to go and just do it. You know, I want to see this, and I want to see it more for my kids and for the people that have never experienced Jesus Christ. And the amazing things that he's done in my life, I want to be able to help do that in somebody else's life. And I think what we need to keep in mind is that he is going to touch the lives of every single person that walks through that door. And far be it from me not to give as much as I possibly can, because that may seem like a lot to our family, but it's just a small fraction of the ability of what God's going to do with that money. When you give it back to him, he will do more with your 10% or whatever you've chosen to give than you can do with the remainder. And you're banking on Jesus Christ being able to touch those people. So I'm excited, and I'm beside myself what we've been able to do as a church.
Praise God. I want to move us into our next question, and you're allowed to answer any of these, by the way. You don't have to stick with just the one I give you, but how's God grown my generosity? Anyone be willing to share a testimony of that?
You don't know me from Adam. I'm going to keep it that way. Because what you're doing here goes further than here. I was here in December, and I keep in touch, of course, with Mark and Caroline on Facebook, but I also keep in touch with your church on Facebook. And I work for a dying congregation, and I'm a member of a dying church, but you and what you've done here is a beacon of hope that will reach far beyond this, because I will go home and I will talk to the people I work for about what God is doing here and how obedient you have been to God, and that you are putting your prayers and you're putting God first when you come together and consider these really heavy things. So when I go back home, to a dying church that wonders why there's only 100 people in a 400-person sanctuary, and I tell them about a 200-person sanctuary, 100-person sanctuary, shoulder-to-shoulder with 200 people, and I tell them why that gives me hope.
Amen. Any other over here, Helen?
Well, if this happened during this campaign time, I've been praying really hard about what to do about retiring from my job with the county board. Don't tell them because I haven't told them. but. A few years ago, our younger son, I know we're supposed to be short, but he and his three kids moved in, and so financially, it's kind of been a stretch, and it's like, man, I gotta keep working. Well, my husband, despite all the bad news that the VA's getting right now, he was declared 100% disabled, and so we are now gonna be financially better than we've been in a long time. Mm. So I'm gonna retire and be able to give of my time to the church, because that's been a struggle for me, working full time and being out. So God really answered prayer, because I've been asking him, should I retire? Shouldn't I retire? And I thought, okay, this is a clear sign you should retire, but it allows me to do for the church too.
Wonderful. You know, that speaks a lot about another thing, is our generosity, not just in our money, but our generosity in our time. I know some people are really challenged financially, and this just isn't a possibility, but your generosity has been shown through what you've been doing. And a lot of us have grown in that as well during this time. Thank you for sharing, Helen. Were there any other? David.
Growing up in a congregation and serving a congregation for over 50 years, a congregation that was really tough for me to leave. But in that time of serving, I was involved in several building campaigns, building committees, a committee that would combine two congregations in church in the city of Fremont, and only to see it all just fall apart, only because of people's non-involvement and people's non-commitment and congregations being selfish in what they felt the other congregation should give up and what they should have to give up. So the answer, I'm answering the first two questions, because when this first came about, and we've been here less than 5 years, you know, I thought very similar to what Andrea said. Well, here we go again. But I looked into the history of this building fund that we already had in place. And the commitment of the people involved in this committee and this congregation to building a church that is accessible to everyone, which is really what we really need. So what I'm answering is, yeah, it strengthened my faith in God, and it strengthened my hope in this congregation. And I just praise God for that.
Praise God. Now listen, friends, I know we have a lot more to share. I also don't want cold chicken. So here's what I'm going to suggest. I'll wrap us up in prayer, and we'll have a wonderful closing in praise, and then continue this conversation downstairs. Make the time around the tables, not about who's winning the baseball game or what the weather's going to be about next week, but talk about these questions with each other and celebrate. This is how God's been growing my faith. This is how God's been growing my hope. This is how God's been growing my generosity, and do that intertwined with that 8:30 crowd that I told to come early and get a good seat downstairs. Join them and tell the story of God. Let's pray together. God, we praise you. We love you. We know that our love for you nowhere matches your love for us. We know that our sacrifices to you nowhere matches your sacrifice for us. God, we are so thrilled to be a part of your movement. We're so thrilled to be in a church where you're alive and you're active and people want you to be known and they want to know you. And God, that's our prayer in all of this, as we thank you, as we prepare for a great adventure that you have laid ahead for us, as we wait to see what you might do to encourage others to do even more. We just are thrilled to be a part of it. And we're going to keep in step with you every step of the way. Give us the ability to do that. Give us your vision that we constantly are walking with you. We praise you. We thank you, Jesus. In the name of you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't really want to be done. Praise God. We're ready to have an awesome feast downstairs. I know they're getting it ready or have it ready, so please be dismissed and do what you need to get prepared and head on downstairs, and let's enjoy the fellowship of God's church together. Amen. Yeah.